Welcome to today's Perry Fairway Let's Talk Dallas County program. My name is Joe Sierwinski, and on today's program, I'm joined by Perry Fire Chief Chris Hines. Chief, thank you for joining me today.
Well, good morning, Joe, and thank you for having me out. I always enjoy coming out here and talking to the public.
So let's get right into it. You wanted to talk about electrical fire safety.
Yes, we've had a few fires recently that have involved electrical shorts, electrical wiring, things like that. And so I thought it'd be kind of good to touch on that and maybe something that people are not aware of. But there's more than 40,000 electrical related house fires each year. Out of that, there's an average of about 350 people that die every year in an electrical fire.
What can people do to prevent electrical fires, first of all?
Well, extension cords is something that everybody uses, and it's very important to make sure that that extension cord is in good condition, that it's not frayed, worn, anything like that, that the plug and the receptacle ends are both in good condition, they're not messed with or anything. Hopefully nobody has cut the ground lug off of the plug in so that it fit into an older outlet. It's always a good idea to maybe have a longer extension cord than what you need, and if you're going across the doorway or something like that, run it up and over the top of the doorway. I know that's not as pretty as running it across the floor and putting a rug over it, but when you cover an extension cord up with a rug, you're immediately creating a fire hazard because you're not allowing that extension cord to breathe, so to speak. It's not able to get air around it to cool itself, and of course electricity in itself generates heat. So if it is covered up with a rug, you're building heat up underneath that rug with that extension cord, and that does create a fire hazard.
Now, one of the recent fires that you responded to was due to a fuse blowing. What can people do to keep their fuses in good condition to prevent that sort of thing from happening?
Well, when a fuse blows or a breaker trips in the home, people tend to think, oh, gee, the appliance that I've got running or whatever is pulling a little more than what that fuse can handle, so I need to put in a bigger fuse. Most often that's not the case because the fuses and breakers that are in our home are designed for the electrical circuit that they're on, and that circuit is wired and such not to carry more than what that fuse allows. So if you put a bigger fuse or a higher amperage breaker into your box to keep it from tripping or to keep the fuse from blowing, what you're doing is overloading that circuit, and again, you're creating more heat buildup because the power is going to go through that fuse rather than trip, and that extra draw on it's going to cause that cord to heat up real fast. And then, of course, the electrical circuits, many of them are spliced and joined here and there in junction boxes. Those in themselves generate a little bit more heat than just running through the open wire. And that's a good area where you can start to have excess heat build up, and it eventually turns into a fire. The wire starts melting. The insulation starts melting from the heat off the wire. Next thing you know, you've got the wire touching the metal box that it's in or whatever, which starts sparking. The sparking goes to the wood that it's maybe attached to or whatever in the wall, and the next thing you know, you have a fire going.
All right. Now, another recent fire that you guys responded to was a result of a fireplace that was left on while the house was unattended. Talk again about fireplace safety as far as fires is concerned.
Yes, I know there's a lot of people that heat with wood, and that's a good source of heating. We've used it for many, many, many years. But with that comes some responsibility and some cautions that you have to take. You don't want to go off and leave an open fireplace running and unattended. A lot of people will say, well, I stoked the fire before I left home to go to town to get groceries or whatever. In a confined stove or something like that, where you stoke the fire and you turn the damper down, it's never good to leave the fire unattended, but that's kind of an acceptable practice. But with a fireplace where it's open to the front, or you have a screen or something like that across the front to keep the sparks and embers from popping out of the fireplace onto the carpet or whatever, but for the most part it's open, as the wood burns in that, sometimes the logs or the wood that's in the fireplace can shift, and it's not out of the realm of possibility for a burning log to roll out of that fireplace, especially if you've loaded it up good and there's a lot of wood in there before you would leave. Something down underneath gets burned a little bit, pile shifts, the log rolls, hits the screen, knocks the screen over possibly or something like that. The next thing you know, that fire's out on the carpet or on the wood floor around the stove, and you've got a fire. And, of course, many fireplace and wood stove fires come from the chimney and not being properly cleaned and cared for. And whether you're home or away, you can never predict when you might have a chimney fire. But if you're home, there's more chance of catching it and getting us there and getting the proper things taken care of before it gets out of hand. But leaving a fire go unattended and you have a chimney fire many times can start something going in the attic or in the roof of the home where it creates a hot spot and maybe burns through the pipe that is venting the fireplace or through maybe some cracks in the chimney itself. Old homes have brick chimneys with a clay flue liner inside them and that, but it's not impossible for those to be cracked over time and heat and everything else, you know, have some flaws in them that would allow a spark or some heat to get out and cause a fire. It's always good to clean your chimneys. I like to recommend cleaning them twice a year. In the spring when the heating season's done, there's companies that can do that, or there's equipment and stuff that you can get, clean it yourself and everything. And then I like to see people clean it again in the fall just before they start using their stove. More of a safety precaution than anything else to clean that again the second time. Just make sure that it's free and all ready to go before you start that fire.
Now, one thing that we've talked about before is that even the most careful person can still have a fire happen. So when fires do happen, what would you recommend for people as far as evacuation procedures?
Nothing is worth a life, so the most important thing is to get out and make sure everybody gets out safely, whether it's husband and wife or mom and dad and three or four kids. Make sure you've got a rendezvous point outside that is safe and away from the home so that you can all meet there and make sure that everybody's accounted for. If somebody's not accounted for, make sure that you let fire personnel know as soon as they're on scene. That way we know if we're going in and searching for somebody that's maybe still inside the home, or if they're not there, make sure you can verify where they are so that we know that everybody is safe and accounted for. I know it seems kind of harsh to say, but pets are not worth risking your life over. If you can't grab the cat on the way out without any effort, they have a tendency to run and hide sometimes or do strange things. Get out. If we get there and we can save them, we will, and it's better to be safe than die trying to save your pet.
Now, one last thing to talk about is daylight saving time. That's a good time to check on one of your safety equipment, correct?
Well, I wanted to touch before we ended today on changing the clocks, changing your batteries. Sunday, March 11th is the start of daylight savings time. So we're going to spring ahead an hour, and while we're setting that clock, let's pull that battery out of the smoke detector and change that so that it always has a fresh battery in there. Same thing goes for your carbon monoxide detectors, so that when there is a fire or a hazardous situation in your home, your alerting device is ready to go and will let you know and keep you safe.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining me. I always appreciate it.
Thank you, sir.
That's been today's Perry Fairway Let's Talk Dallas County program with Perry Fire Chief Chris Hines. You can find this program at RaccoonValleyRadio.com. My name is Joe Sirwinski with Raccoon Valley Radio News. Perry Fairway, always fresh, always affordable.